Thank you, Mark. You can just pop up the first screen for me. It's just a reminder to, I always like to have a title. It reminds me where I want to go. And then when we get to the end of the message, you can say, I wonder if he stuck to what he was going to talk about. 40 days. I've never spoken on this before, but I wanted to stick to the emphasis that we've had recently on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and some of the implications of that, and especially one look this morning at what happened in the days immediately following Easter Sunday. And of course, we're still, in fact, in that period of time, that amazing 40 days since Easter Sunday. And so here is our focus this morning. I think this is going to work today. It hasn't worked this last 2 weeks, but let's try it. Ta-da! Yes. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them, to the disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. In Paul's letters, who writes 50% of the New Testament, he addresses issues and problems that Christians had, because we don't have any of those, do we? I think we do. I believe there are issues and problems that Christians still have today, because although cultures have changed a lot since 2,000 years ago, we're still the same old humanity, and our issues and difficulties show themselves in just the same way as it did 2,000 years ago. And so in our consumer-driven, secular today, isn't it? And relatively short-sighted society, people tend not to give too much weight to the promise of resurrection. Resurrection, what's that? That'll happen sometime in the future. That is not about today. Well, last week I said it was about today. It's about the way we live today. We live a resurrection life by faith. You want to note the main passages on resurrection in Paul's letters is certainly 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he speaks to this particular thing. And this is part of what he says. I just want to put this lengthy bit of passage up for you. Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, forgot to highlight that, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," which is Peter, "and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time." Can you imagine what that must have been like? What he's doing there, he's talking about the 40-day period that Luke is writing about here in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. He's talking about the same period of time. And so I would like to try and capture this morning some of the things that were available for those first disciples and apostles. What exactly was this 40-day period about? Why 40 days? Well, I just want to leave a couple of things with you. And the first thing I think it was all about, it was a period of waiting. Now, we're all very good at waiting, aren't we? We're all very patient people. None of us like waiting periods of life, especially when it comes to our faith. None of us like to wait to 1 second before midnight to trust God for the answer. And we do appreciate your testimony, by the way. Thank you so much. And we tend to think of these things as inconvenient delays rather than constructive waiting periods. After all, what is constructive about waiting at a bus for half an hour, bus stop for half an hour? And, you know, you think, what's it all about? I don't use buses very much, but when I have, I think, when is it coming? I've been here 5 minutes, you know. Or what about the package or letter that you're waiting for? A really important letter. lot of important information. And the postman comes to the door. You hear the noise of the letters coming through, and you rush there, and it's not there. It should be there. When is this letter going to come? When's this package going to come? And if ever there was a time to have an extended waiting period immediately following the verifiable resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, was not the time to do it. It was not the time to do it, we would have thought. The disciples must have thought, let's go and tell people about this wonderful news. But no, there's a 40-day waiting period. And then I was thinking about this. How long did God wait for this period to come along? I think it was a considerably long time. Is God ever in a rush? Does he arrive at his destination late? Is he not always on time? I mean, can you see God running to get the bus because he's late? I don't think so. In fact, God has factored into our world some wonderful concepts of waiting. There is the mother-to-be. What a lovely thing. When the egg is fertilized and the embryo has to wait in the womb for 9 months. We understand how important that is, of course. And then when the child is born and the parents have to wait for the child to grow, you know, a little bit, month by month, year by year, until finally they're like us mature people. But they've got to go through, they've got to wait through those terrible twos and the no stage and all the other stages that follow that. And eventually they become adults and then they become mature adults they bear fruit. And they're constructive, and they do good things. And doesn't it make you feel proud? Well done, kids. When they finally get through the dark tunnel and come out the other end good, and they're, you know, they're just good people, and they love God, and they've got faith, and that's just, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. I want you to think of that this morning. It's worth the wait. 40 days, I don't know if your 40 days is longer than 40, but it's worth the wait, definitely. And just about everything in nature has patience written into its DNA. When it's a cold, wet winter, we can't wait until the spring comes, until the summer comes and brings some sunshine and warmth with it. And everything else is just beautiful at this time of year. And so also waiting is an essential part of the kingdom of God. Are you a member of the kingdom of God? You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to be patient, because God does things in his time, and his timing is right. And it's constructive, and they're not delays, but they're perfect. The psalmist wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Those 40 days when Jesus was with his disciples was a really important waiting time. The second thing that you find in this incredible 40-day period is a period of encouragement. I hasten to mention that during this 40 days, Jesus made special visits to Peter especially. Specifically, he went to Peter to encourage him, because Peter, as you know, had downright denied that he even knew him. Not once, twice, but 3 times. And Jesus even warned him. And on the 3rd time, when with curses and swearing, he says, I've never heard of the man before. Jesus was in sight, because he was warming himself at a fire, and Jesus was in the courtyard over here. And at that point, when the cock crowed, Jesus turned around and he looked at Peter, and Peter, realizing what he had done, he had let Jesus down, he went out and he wept. How low was he? As low as you're going to get. And so Jesus comes to him. Why? To encourage him. And he takes 40 days to encourage Peter. Not just Peter, but the other disciples as well. Because after the resurrection, surprisingly enough, we discover that, what did they do? They went back to their fishing. You could say that a lot of ways, actually. They went back. They didn't go forward. They went back. Let's go back to our fishing boats. And of course, it gets worse because they fish all night. And not only do they see themselves as being hopeless disciples, but it seems that night they're hopeless fishermen too. Because they didn't catch one fish. But along the Galilean shore comes this stranger on the shore. And he shouts some advice, why don't you cast on the other side of the boat? Well, they thought it was rather silly, but what had they to lose? And so they did, and they caught such a miraculous, miraculous catch. They even tell us how many fish in John chapter 1, 153. It doesn't sound like a lot to us today, but that was a huge, huge catch for them. One of the biggest they'd ever had. And it was only after that that they sort of look in the distance, say, I know who that is. That's Jesus. He had come to encourage them. And we're told that this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples. That tells us something very important about the ministry of encouragement. It is multiple. When was the last time you encouraged someone? And when you did encourage someone, how often did you do it? If you go up to someone and help someone and encourage them, that's wonderful. But if you walk away and never do it again, that's not good. Because if it was Jesus, he would go back to them again and he would lift them up again. And then he would come again and he would encourage them once more. This was a significant reoccurrence during those 40 days. And we're told that Jesus even appeared to 500 disciples all at the same time. I want to say there was a lot of encouragement going on in those days, those 40 days, an awful lot. Would you like to start a new ministry in the church? Would you like to do something good? Something that's going to bear fruit? Do you want to hear what would be a really good ministry in the church for you to do? The ministry of encouragement. The ministry of encouragement. Are you good at putting your arm around someone's shoulder? Are you good at taking a time to have a coffee and say, let's have a chat about this, and just listening rather than talking? The ministry of encouragement. Peter had felt worthless, but Jesus encouraged him to see how precious he was to God. And if that's all you ever do, that's a great ministry. Personally, I think it worked. Those 40 days, I think it worked. I think it ticked all the boxes that God the Father wanted God the Son to do before he returned to glory at the ascension and took his rightful place on the throne beside the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I think it worked because 10 days after the ascension, Peter preached a sermon that every preacher wishes that they could preach. Every preacher, they would like to preach like Peter. They would like to preach on a great day like Pentecost and thousands come to the Lord. Lord, please let that happen to me, preachers would say. Did it work? It certainly did. Do you want to link those two facts together? Jesus coming three times to Peter specifically, lifting him up. You're important to God. Strengthen the sheep. Feed the sheep. I've come here for you, Peter. And then on the first day that the Spirit comes, he preaches and thousands come to the Lord. Are they linked? You bet they are. You can be 100% sure they are. this need of encouragement is still as strong today as ever it was in the past. We have to encourage people in their faith. We are tempted to think that if only like the apostles, we had seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ, seen the marks on his wrists and his side and his ankles, if we had seen those, we wouldn't have need for anything else. That would be enough. Apparently, that is not true. Because our humanity is such that we can be away up here in one day. See, the next day, we're as low as you can get. And I don't need to convince you of that, because that's what most of us are like. You know what I think? For what it's worth, I think if we were to instigate a 40-day period of real encouragement in our church once a year, we would see a few more apostles about the building. I really do believe that. Luke did his research for this book in the same painstaking way as he had done for the gospel that bears his name. And he starts with this. It's got to be significant. He starts with this encouragement. This encouragement, this act of encouragement. There it is, the Acts of the Apostles. What was the first act? Was it not encouragement? Was that not the lesson they had to learn? Where Jesus comes to Peter and to the 12 and then to the 500. Let's rekindle this Jesus style of encouragement once again. One last thing, I think it's just as important. It was a period of learning. A period of learning. There is a hint of this teaching, if you like, in the story of the two disciples who were on the same day as Jesus was resurrected, were on their way home to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, and they were discouraged because they thought Jesus was gone, that was the end of him. And of course, Jesus comes along beside them, and what's he doing? He's encouraging them. He says, no, let's look at the scriptures. He's gently encouraging them, these two disciples. And this is what we read. And beginning with Moses, all the time in the world, Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So he takes the time to do this. It's a long journey. And they wanted to hear more, so they invite him. It looks like he's going to walk on further, but he invites Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. They invite him to stay with them to have some food. And they're eating some food. And then Jesus breaks the bread. And the way he broke the bread, they realize who it was. Just like the stranger on the shore, we know who you are. And he disappeared from their sight. And their hearts were burning within them. And all the disciples had now to order their faith in ways that would bring fruit and be profitable rather than just look like they've got foliage on the bush. You know, it's great to see the leaves, but it's not the leaves that's important, really. It's the fruit on the tree. And apparently, it takes 40 days to establish a good habit. Did you know that? I'm sure a lot of you did. Or even for that matter, if you have a bad habit, if we have bad habits, do you know how long it took us to learn those? You didn't learn it overnight. You don't learn bad habits overnight. It takes a long time to learn a bad habit. And if you want to turn over a new leaf, as the saying goes, you know, right, tomorrow I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to change things. If you want to turn over a new leaf, it's going to take you 40 days. Because if you turn over a new leaf tomorrow, the day after, you're going to be back on the same page again. And so that day you turn over the leaf again. And the next day you do it again. And you keep doing it. And you know, after 40 days, you have established a habit that's good, a habit that's prosperous, a habit that is fruit-bearing. It takes time. It takes 6 weeks to lay your demons to rest and establish something good that will stand you in good stead for the rest of your Christian life. Do you remember a few years ago we ran a church-wide program? It was entitled 40 Days in the Word. You know what that was all about? It was really about trying to, it was designed to help people to establish good habits for life. It takes 40 days to do that. And so those 40 days where Jesus was with his disciples was an important learning period. And in essence, it was about what they were thinking and about what they thought and what they were being taught. And so the 12 had become the 500 and they were about to be unleashed upon the world. But firstly, before they went anywhere, they had to wait. And they had to be encouraged. And they had to be taught about the kingdom of heaven. And as you may know already, those are the fruits of the disciplined life. The disciplined life, where we have taken time to live our Christian life like that. And I want to ask the question, did it work? Did it work? Was that time of waiting for 40 days worthwhile? Were those encouragements that Jesus offered to Peter and the 12 and the 500, was it worthwhile? And that period of teaching them about the kingdom of heaven for those 40 days, did it work? Well, history records how 10 days after this important 40-day period had ended, Jesus ascended to the Father, and from there he sent the Holy Spirit, and he honored the promise of the Father. That's what it was all about, the promise of the Father. And so those disciples were clothed with power from on high in just the same way as they had been born from above. And it's not all our work. It is essentially the work of the Holy Spirit in us and with us. In us, God doing what you can't do and I can't do. But with us, and this is where the discipline comes. This is where the discipleship kicks in. This is where the 40-day thing really makes sense. The Holy Spirit would come and encourage them just as Jesus had done. Have you felt the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in your life? And the sequence of events, of course, is quite remarkable because, to put it all in a nutshell, this is really what happened. The Holy Spirit filled the lives of believers that Jesus had encouraged and taught for 40 days. That's what happened. And as you know, and we'll think about it in a couple of weeks' time, but that waiting period extended into when Jesus had gone and he had returned to the Father. What were they going to do? Well, they might have had a prayer tree like this. They prayed and they waited and they were fellowshipping together. What a great ministry for today, the ministry of encouragement.